The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The email says, Mr. Johnson, was Barbados alone in permitting non-Bajan citizens of Commonwealth countries to vote in the elections? If so, reference any other country, or was this something drafted in our constitution at the time of independence? Civics lesson 101 for me. Commonwealth nations allow their citizens to vote in member nations once they satisfy a residency period. It varies from country to country. Canada, I think, is 6 months. They even allow students to vote. Trinidad was 1 year, and there was three. I think one country was 3 years. When I came back to Barbados in 1981, permanent residency was established, and I voted by 1986. So it's been done in Barbados before, once you've satisfied the live-in period. The WhatsApp message says, I'm not offering any political submission, but as a social worker and a Barbadian, I want to offer three messages to those involved in the recent elections. Vanquished leader, do not perceive failure as only a loss. It is also a golden opportunity to learn the value of flaws. Victorious leader, do not perceive success as a destination that encourages complacency. Perceive it as a journey and accept its demands for consistency. And electorate, do not return to the graveyard with peck and hoe. Your role is not to be redemptive. Visit that site with what you now know and let your role be reflective. And that's from John Kelman, who sometimes contributes via WhatsApp and sometimes live vocally. Brass Tacks, good afternoon and thank you for holding.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon.
This is a voice from your distant past. I don't hear what's down there. You wouldn't recognize it, though. Listen,
I always like hearing voices from my distant past.
I want to take you back to the caller about four calls ago,
mm-hmm.
who talked about hoteliers keeping foreign exchange abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is an often repeated falsehood that I want to deal with because I think it's unfair that people should invest their money to get an industry going in a very difficult industry, and people wrongfully accuse them of that kind of stuff. It's unpatriotism, that's what it is. But the truth is, a hotel has very large expenses to pay in Barbados, which is wages and salaries. They have to pay the light and power like any Bajan living here.
Water.
They have to pay the water authority. They got to pay for the bread from Purdy, and it bears some banks. And then on top of that, some of them have to pay the advertising agency in the very countries they earn the money. So even if they spend some of the money abroad, they ain't nothing to keep abroad, if you get my drift.
So I get your drift, you know. The question that I think arises from time to time is how much of, well, having worked in the industry, as you see, especially where we worked, you know, sometimes there was no profit anyhow, right?
But I wrote a paper many years ago that said that governments profit more from tourism than
the investors.
Yeah, because this is what happened. Even when a hotel doesn't make money, the government gets the foreign exchange, the government gets the jobs, and the government gets the
foreign advertising. The problem, though, seems to have been when we switched to all-inclusives, where people believed that the money paid for reservations, etc., does not find its way into the country.
Well,
and I think that's where the thought about how much actually comes up.
Well, that's a whole other story in itself, and you're quite right. I think that's where the discussion started. But the truth is, that's another falsehood about the all-inclusives. The all-inclusives do more for the country. In fact, without the all-inclusives, we would lose a whole chunk of tourism because all-inclusive didn't come about because somebody had a clever idea. All-inclusive came about because the punter out there who wants to get a holiday wants to do as little as possible. They want to have everything simplified.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to pay one price and get everything.
Get everything. I have often argued, right, sir, especially again coming out of the Haywoods experience, that all-inclusives benefit when the visitors don't stay there because food and beverage is always the biggest chunk of that vacation. And if the person is out having a good time, they're not sitting around eating seven square meals a day or you know, pecking at everything and anything. But it is how you operate the all-inclusives.
Yeah, and I'll make another point because you would remember that the biggest losses that were made at that hotel then actually happened if they put, you know, to run all-inclusive or to run any hotel business, you had to put on a large F&B staff.
F&B, so yeah.
People have to eat.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
So the thing is, as you rightly said, if a lot of people stay on the property.
Sitting on the property, eating.
They'll eat you out of house and land.
House and land, man, yeah.
But the other thing is this, that I remember well that you put on a lot of staff and you do the best menu in the world and you do dinners and lunches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the tourists have to go and see. You don't have to tell them to go. They're going to be out driving around. They're going to be out on the beaches all about the place. They're going to be doing tours.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to rent their cars. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, when you put on all that stuff and you buy all those provisions and you make all these meals and then nobody in there to eat them, now the all-inclusive doesn't lose anything. But if you rent a hotel, you lose your shirt because you ain't got no revenue.
Yep.
And you got the cost.
Yep.
But I want to make one last point, mm-hmm. Dennis.
Yeah.
Something has happened that I think has fired this argument recently. That is, like, in the last year, I think the tourist season did not do anything to create a bump in the foreign reserves.
Right.
Now, interestingly enough, it is quick to say, well, the people keeping the money out there in truth. But the IMF did an analysis, which they reported in one of their
reports, the Article 4 representation.
Article 4 for 2017, and this is what they said. They said that the Barbados foreign exchange earnings are no longer correlated positively to the record arrivals we are having because of the sharing economy, but in particular Airbnb.
Ah.
And they argue one that you have thousands, because Barbados is very popular on these websites.
Mm-hmm.
On Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So you have thousands of people coming here, but they may be paying like $100 to stay in somebody's house or an extra room,
mm-hmm.
when in fact that same contact could have been paying $300 or $400 in a hotel.
Yeah.
So right away you have the numbers, but you don't have the revenue.
The spend, right.
But mm-hmm. there's a second aspect to that, is the dilution in the marketplace, where if you have lots of messages going out there by the Airbnb that you can get Barbados for $100, and what that's going to do is force existing legacy hotels
to drop their rates, yeah.
And or to pair them at least,
yeah,
or to make the clients out there agitate for lower rates,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Those are the two critical issues that the IMF think is why we are not getting the level of foreign exchange that correlates with the kind of record arrivals we've mm-hmm. been having.
So, you know, I really want to thank you for making this call at several levels, and I'll tell you one in particular I'm very happy that you've made. I have tried sitting here to use my experience that you've just backed up by saying to people, one of the challenges I saw, especially when I spent 2 years on the South Coast with Neville Bailey's Shangri-La, is this. You have tour operators who come to Barbados and say to you, you have what, 100 rooms? I can take 75 rooms from you, but I want you to charge me $50 or $75 or $55 during the summer months. They seldom take up the 75 rooms, but you're pegged with them. So, you know, you don't know what to do. Okay?
Yeah.
Come the winter season, as we call it, the same tour operator comes back to you and says, I want 75 rooms again. And you tell him, well, my rooms are $150. He said, but I had it for $45 in August. What have you done? You don't have flat screen TV. It's the same room, same size, same amenities. Why are you charging me $150? So you tie yourself down into these contracts that don't work to your benefit in the long run, because you don't fill your rooms and you can't change your rate.
Yeah.
And that is an aspect of the hospitality industry that a lot of people don't get.
You are fingering, Dennis, the biggest problem tourism has in going forward. But it's already solved for us, because tourism has transformed itself already to digital tourism, where most suppliers, including those same operators now, are relying less on the network of travel agents and they're going directly to the punter.
Mm-hmm.
So with the technology, you don't need the middleman as much as you need to, if you need them at all, because you can, the digital age means essentially that if you own a hotel, You can do it yourself. Technology to go to the directly to the consumer,
mm-hmm.
where you can call your. You still have to be competitive,
Right.
But what you don't have to do is you don't have to have a bully who is telling you or who is still
telling you what to charge for your room.
Precisely, and, mm-hmm. and using the idea that they're going to sell in volume to get the lowest possible rate, and then as you articulate it, they're stuck. So I noticed it was in the BLT's manifesto that they plan to digitize the tourism industry.
Mm-hmm.
Is the most sensible thing that we can do right now to get rid of that problem you just identified? Because everybody's going direct, including the airlines mm-hmm. and including those same tour operators now.
Mm-hmm.
They used to sit back and they used to have a network of agents, which they would have to pay the commissions to, and then essentially there's a whole other set of costs associated with that. Even the tour operators have their own direct websites now that mm-hmm. that you can book a tour operator as a consumer directly.
Right.
So Barbados suppliers, from hotels to whatever else who are offering anything to the world, need to digitize and need to go to the world using the technology to reach the customer, because what the technology does is cover the issue of promotion and distribution.
And you
cut out the middleman, you save some costs in terms of those commissions and those promotional costs that you got to pay them guys,
mm-hmm.
and you get a better rate overall over time.
Right.
So these are the kind of changes. We need a new business model, because the current business model is 60 years old.
Yep.
And while it has done good for us, we can see where it's beginning to leak, and we need to change mm-hmm. the business model to a digital one.
The other question I want to ask you is this. I also heard this mention from, I think, the new Minister of Tourism mm-hmm. in one of the newspapers about increasing what we offer our visitors when they get here. Because to me, when you talk about expanding the spend of the visitor, you must talk about what they can spend it on while they're here.
Yeah.
So the two key ones that we keep ducking and hedging and bouncing off, casino gambling, or else what? What do we do to expand the visitor spend?
Then it's not even so much creating new things to spend money on, because that's investment, and that's, you're not changing the business model when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's only theoretically true. Somebody once said, "What is theory is something that you think you know, but that doesn't work."
I like that.
That's a theory.
I like to remember that.
No, seriously.
I will remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Theory is something that you think you know, but doesn't work. Practice is something that works, but you don't even know why. So, actually, my own viewpoint is that to get people to spend more money, we have to change the model here.
Okay.
We need to move away from renting rooms and selling seats in restaurants.
Right.
To selling whole vacations. In other words, we have
selling experience.
We have to find an all-inclusive model mm-hmm. for the destination.
That works for Barbados. Brilliant. Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know full well, the all-inclusive, actually, the one benefit the all-inclusive does is that it packages up everything and make sure you pay for it before you even left. Mm-hmm. So you ain't getting a chance to not buy.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to find some kind, and it is not difficult to do. We need to find a way to sell vacations or stop selling components of vacations.
Sell a Bajan experience.
Sell a Bajan experience.
In other words, come to Barbados, live at my hotel on the coast, but you can have lunch on the East Coast, dinner on the West Coast, a drink in a bar on the South Coast as part of your package.
So you package.
And a car.
Like, if you want that. It's practically like what you do when you go on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You really, when you buy a cruise ship ticket or whatever it is,
right.
You get your food, you get your accommodation.
Yeah.
You get your food.
Five dining experiences, you entertainment.
You get your entertainment.
Yeah.
You get your shopping and mm-hmm. all the other stuff on board.
Mm-hmm.
And you get all the other little services put in. So, and the truth is this, that we need to package up the thing into one so that when the people book, they're spending on a whole revenue package that they don't have the choice to break up, and then you lose capture.
Good.
So that is my thought process on that, Dennis.
I am very happy that you've taken the time. And it's good hearing, as you say, a voice from the past and a voice with experience, and spoken as someone who's worked in the trenches. Really, it was a pleasure hearing. Thank you very, very much indeed. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dennis.
Brother Nasser, how are you? The public has missed you, sir, as I have. It is good to hear your voice back strong again. I am recovering.
You have to forgive me. I was working for the most beautiful human being that ever became Prime Minister of Barbados. So I couldn't mind you, not even my friend Dennis, I couldn't mind you. I was over there making sure that the Democrats would probably get slaughtered, and they did. Mm. Right? So that's why it is to me. But first of all, I didn't call you about what happened. Now, you realize that I don't ever criticize nobody at all that calls your program. You ever discovered that?
Sir, I know that. So you don't talk about callers. You talk about things that concern
right,
you.
Good. Okay. There's a reason why I tell you that.
I know that, sir.
Look, first let me say that I am very proud of the Montlease family to be able to produce such an outstanding young woman that generate herself and develop herself into to be Prime Minister of Barbados. I believe beyond a shadow she's going to be one of the best leaders the country produce. And I am glad that with her intelligence and intellect, she's been able to get rid of ugly government so we now have a beautiful government. Right? Now, that out there, I want to say something. Hey, listen, you just don't talk about this jam with tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, if you package tourism the way he said, you would destroy all the small and medium-sized people and business in this country. When you're on a tour ship, like he said, all the money is going to the owners of the tour ship. None of the little small people about the place don't get none.
No, but that's why I said you have breakfast in one place, lunch in another place, because you spread it around. I have often said, and he agreed, that if you keep the people in the hotel and try to give them everything, you lose. You have to get them out. They have to go and drink at the bar down the road. So your food and beverage bill is your largest bill.
That is, we have to do a little more.
Mm-hmm.
If we can do this all in this package like he is saying,
mm-hmm.
it means that they will have to now include all the little small business about the place. So even though it's still all-inclusive, mm-hmm. when you come here, you go into a nightclub, you go to a nightclub, so this is a place. You go to some place for dinner, for breakfast sometimes. So in other words, though all the money might go to the big hotel, they should have
spread it out.
The tourists could go around and get...
And spread it out around the place. Yeah, I agree.
I agree. I just want to get...
Sir, totally agree. I believe you should be able to come to Barbados... Right? And be told, if you want the best pudding and sauce, go X. You want to have a real good Bajan experience, go to Bar Y, where they have happy hour, where you get Banks beer, and where you get fish cakes made Bajan style.
Correct.
And over there, that lady there does the best fish you could possibly find.
Correct.
Yeah?
And the big agent, the big person, the big hotel, then pay all those people.
That's correct.
So the tourists can still do it for money.
That's correct.
I know that when I done, I can't pay for
every single thing that you do, yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
All right, good.
And it's not my food bill. Because as the gentleman say, you have to employ food and beverage staff, you prepare a big meal, and if nobody eats it, your food costs gone up, and you got to throw it away.
Okay, so good. No.
Yeah, I would.
So that would be good, and that would have the entire country left for one time, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
And put in a rental car in there, too.
Correct. So and you can rent the cars from various types of people.
From various people. Right. Making sure you have three or four reliable people, good cars in good condition.
Correct. You don't get your cousin to get 100 cars
and put it in somebody else's name. I would.
Correct.
I would.
Right? Good. No. Once we got that clear.
We clear.
I would love to be in a conversation with that gentleman we were talking to just now.
I do. I would like to hear more too.
Not in a negative way.
No. Sitting down and exchanging ideas, sir.
Because they think what you said, but the point is, a few little things have to change up because otherwise they'll go down the wrong road, right?
Mm, I got you.
No. Okay, no. I want to say something very serious to black people in this world, not only in Barbados. Mr. Johnson, there's nothing that a white man can do that a black man can't do. There's nothing that a black man can do that a white man can't do. There's nothing on earth they can do that they can't do. But you know, there's a problem where we have this confusion. I have 3 grandchildren. I can say this again, and the mother of one is white, and the father of 2, he is white.
Mm-hmm.
Those children look like white children, but when you look up close, Johnson,
mm-hmm.
you realize that they're men white children.
They ain't white.
Right? No, listen.
They are a little coloring.
When you look close, No. What I want to say to Barb, to black people, is that the reason why white people have their problem with black people is because they know if the races continue to mix within that 200 years or so,
there'll be no
Caucasians as we know them on the earth.
That is true. Unfortunately, Brother Nasser, the theme comes up for the lunchtime edition. I also have a note here from Mr. Bab that says, we'll be live with on the VOB 929 Facebook page with the lunchtime edition of the latest with Stetson Bab at 12:30. I wanted to say this to you in particular, Brother Nasser, because people sometimes call you and ask all the time whether you're Muslim, what you are and what you are not. On election night, while I was out in the field, I know there are lots of people who tell me how much they care and how much they love me and all. I get those messages all the time and I smile. The one person stopped and said to me, you had anything to eat for the day? I said, not yet. They said, all right, I'll bring something back for you. Mr. Vaughan, is that person a Christian? Does that person show you Christian understanding? You would say so? Mr. Vaughan, a Christian, nods his head. That person was a Muslim. The lunchtime edition is next. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The WhatsApp message says, Dennis, in light of your conversation just now about our tourism product, can we not, as an islander, take from the cruise ships, develop our theatre and entertainment to Broadway standards, create water parks like a Six Flags? We have limited our vision in terms of our tourist product. Has anyone thought of marketing with children in mind, giving parents additional options? We also, as a point of urgency, need to look seriously at our pricing. Barbados is widely known as the most expensive destination in the Caribbean. Some may see this as a positive in the attraction to the high-end visitor, but we alienate the cruise passenger that has six other destinations on their itinerary, all cheaper than Barbados. This contributes to the limited spend here. Tourism can work for us again in a much greater way, but it needs an overhaul and new ideas. A couple of things. We do market with children in mind. Certainly there have been kids clubs at the properties that I've worked at. And I often say that we need to perhaps develop people with skills in recreational management, because that's what people come for, R&R. We've had a water park, we've closed it down. And the other thing about cruise ships is this. Cruise ships, the tour, what they call now, the cruise directors on the cruise ships are wooed by certain destinations to guide their people there and to guide them away from others. So you'll be told, for example, if you're going to this place, you know, island tours are not required and so on, or the shopping is better here and there because of what the cruise director says, and not necessarily for any other reason. The Derek Smith School and Vocational School experiencing a cowage problem and need to close immediately. The school will also be closed tomorrow, May 31st, in order to facilitate the cleaning. The management of the Derek Smith School and Vocational Center apologizes for the inconvenience caused. And should you require any further information, you can contact the center at 271-2607 or email admin@derricksmithcenter.com. And that's a notice from the principal. And just a short piece of housekeeping before I go back to the phone lines. I said the BTII earlier when I was talking about corporate communication specialists, and a member of the board said there was none. So I stand corrected. I actually wanted to say the product development arm of the Barbados Tourism Authority. So the Barbados Tourism Product Development, I knew had a corporate communication specialist. Right. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My housekeeping matters are done. Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm trying to be okay.
I enjoyed the call just before Brother Mohammed, who called in speaking about tourism.
Tourism, yeah, my friend from the old days, he said, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say two things. As much as I enjoyed his presentation, mm-hmm. I would give him very high marks for it.
Mm-hmm.
There are two aspects, and this is not a criticism, as Barbadians so often want to say when you present
when you see an alternative point of
it's
view.
It's just an alternative perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of when he mentioned, you know, food sales,
mm-hmm.
Your dinners, whatever, that kind of thing, where they've been diminished, or you will be preparing a whole lot and then you don't sell
and then
them.
You don't.
No.
Your
just like you can predict your room revenue to a high degree,
mm-hmm.
you can also predict your food sales to a significant degree because the two are married. But what it recalls is that, or what it calls for is that over time, and let's say 2 to 3 months baseline, that you do significant research into what your occupancy levels are and what kind of food and beverage sales you generate.
And what kind of guests you have.
And then you also look at any variance analysis that occurs. Now, I did that for a considerable period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I mean, if you're out 1 or 2%, then that's 1 or 2 percentage points in terms of cost.
Mm-hmm.
And because it will work either way, it will make up for itself in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't determine that your hotel has, let's say, 100 rooms,
mm-hmm.
220 guests,
mm-hmm.
and that you're going to prepare food for 220 guests.
Okay.
When your hotel guests, maybe 60% of them might be eating in the hotel, and the next 40% are eating outside of the hotel.
Okay.
So that you just need to marry in terms of what your occupancy, like I say, is, and basically how many people out of that every 100 people really patronize your hotel. Now, you know that would be like 90% in breakfast 20 years ago.
Yeah.
No longer so. Because a whole lot of the people now who stay at hotels, they get to understand, you know, hey, okay, my breakfast costs $25. I can go up the street where I can get a comparable breakfast for $10.
Well, the challenge, too, is the tastes of the guests you have. And I suppose families tend to eat in, teenagers tend to eat out. You get that kind of variance from time to time.
Individuals, right? That mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, well, Brother Muhammad touched on that, which is very, very critical too. When he made it, it was like the final point he was making, basically to move towards the all-inclusive nature.
Mm-hmm.
And there's significant challenges. Let me call them challenges that need to be really researched deeply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the all-inclusive market came to Barbados, and somewhere one might find some little research that was done on it or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking now from the macro perspective here. What has it done to tourism in Barbados?
In Barbados.
Vis-a-vis the same villas. You know, the central bank had promised us that they would bring out a report
mm-hmm.
on the impact of villas in Barbados.
And they
I never saw it.
I haven't seen it either. I don't know if it exists. One thing that shocked me, well, it didn't shock me, but it was interesting hearing a central bank governor say that we have no real measure of the contribution of the tourism sector foreign exchange. It was an interesting comment to make because it means that we are sometimes perhaps just shooting in the dark.
Well, to talk about the foreign exchange input
mm-hmm.
of the tourism sector,
mm-hmm.
it would take quite a while because the various angles that it come from.
And the gentleman talked about Airbnb and the small holdings.
I'll give you a simple example.
Mm-hmm.
My brother comes home for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
right? He's not staying at any hotel.
He's at you.
He comes home with U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do?
He spends it.
He goes to restaurants.
He
goes
it.
To bars.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he takes you out on a meal once in a while. Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
He goes
yeah.
to an attraction. He goes to a show.
Yeah.
I.e. what Al Jiltz would say about the people that they bring for their reggae fest.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
all those are things that we need to capture.
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you, I have seen in recent times, I would say over the last winter season, visitors to Barbados moving around on foot, on bicycle, taking public transport, going into delis and sitting at the small shops and cafes. So they are visitors who come to Barbados and enjoy the Bajan experience. Now, how much they spend, how much of it we capture, and where does it go is something that would take a lot of research and checking. I want to thank you for your contributions to this Wednesday edition. Thanks to Graham Vaughan and Kevin Hines for keeping me on the straight and narrow. On behalf of your all-male team, I'm Dennis Johnson. Have a good afternoon.